Hi, everybody. This is Elaine, and it is the Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call on Thursday, May 25th, 2017, which still boggles my mind to say we're saying 2017. We're going to start with celebrations, and then this week I think we're talking about focusing on the process rather than the outcomes. So a little more conceptual today, but really, really essential concept. So let's start with celebrations. And Maya, I think that was you that just said you had a celebration.
Yeah. So my son is he's 15 and he's got 3 more weeks of high school. And I did talk with Elaine about he's feeling a lot of pressure to get work done, and he's kind of like losing it at home. But the celebration is that he's actually really trying to get, to finish strong for the year, which I keep telling him he's not giving up. And he's actually spending more time on homework, I think, than he did, the first half of the year. So I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So not only are you not telling him he's not giving up, but he's actually not giving up. He's like, he's stepping in.
Yeah, he wants to finish strong. So, and he's, got like a lot of missing assignments and a few classes, so he's really trying to make them up.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about you, Julie? How are things in your world?
Well, on a similar note, here toward the end of this year, Logan is dropping off and not so interested in school anymore. And so because it's the end of the school year, I'm kind of thinking, well, let me just wait and really deal with this in the fall. But there was an assignment that's due this Friday that he was just flat out not going to do. And so I emailed the teacher. I said, hey, I think he needs a little encouragement. And so the teacher got him on board. And so he brought everything home last night and we worked on it. And he made progress. It's not complete, but he made progress. And so we'll get it done tonight. So, yeah, I mean, that's similar, but similar area, but not the same success yet.
Well, also significantly different age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. He's just turned 13. So.
Yeah, and difficult. It's setting expectations and just sometimes getting through the school year is one level of expectation, and then sometimes pushing at the end is another. And
yeah.
Ideally,
yeah.
The goal is to get them to push all the way through.
Right. But other than that, things have been going well at home. I would say we had a nice relaxing weekend last weekend, and this weekend we're going up to the mountains. So things are feeling under control at the moment at home. So that's good. That's the celebration.
Well, it sounds like they feel better than under control. It sounds like they feel sort of peaceful.
Yeah, there are moments of peaceful. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, relative peace, but yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, and I was working with somebody, a private client that I was talking to earlier, and we were talking about this notion of like when your heart's at war and when your heart's at peace and when your heart's sad and when your heart's feeling sort of unsettled, and sort of to recognize those different feelings and to recognize they're all real,
Mm-hmm.
And they're all going to happen at different times, and to know that heart of peace is there, and sometimes it's just about recognizing where you are so you can get back to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So somebody else has just joined us. Who's here?
Kim in Southern California, and I have the 17-year-old who got. Again, we're trying to finish the year strong, but that is a real challenge. This whole second semester has been a real challenge for him. And is it Jill that's on the other line?
Julie.
There was another
I'm
mom.
Julie.
Julie, there was a mom last week in Canada with a teenager, some similar issues. But just managing the impulse control, because there's all this stuff to still make up, and yet at 10 o'clock at night when we get home from the awards banquet. He says he has work to do, and he's playing computer games and saying, I got to go to sleep. And it's like, wait a minute, a League of Legends, Legends of the League, doesn't quiet the brain to go to sleep, honey. And I'm the bad guy because I'm taking it away. And he finds another computer to do it with. And I hate to have to, like, my 16-year-old gets it. He knows he's got to turn off the lights and go to bed. And I hate to be the bad guy, but somebody's got to do it.
Well, so here's what I'm going to offer you, Kim, is that the goal here is to help your 17-year-old learn how to be his own bad guy. Right? And right now, you, as long as someone's got to do it and that someone is you, he's not going to.
No, it creates, and it creates strife between the two of us.
Right. Right. Well, it becomes your problem. And so part of that, and we'll talk about that more today, is that transferring the ownership. But tell me, before we move into content, tell me what you are celebrating today.
What I'm celebrating? Well, he had, this kid is, he's late for a lot of stuff, but the teacher, his IB theater teacher, came to him and she said, Kim, I had a really great conversation with Jonathan, and I told him how brilliant his written work is. I told him how he's going to be a junior and people are going to be looking up to you, and it is time to step into that role. And she breathed so much positive encouragement into him because she said he has got the talent, but he just has to have the consistency and the ability to be on time and show up and be ready. And she's like, I just know he's going to be great. And you could see the glow on his face. And I feel like, but there it was, two steps forward, and then, oh, there's the little boy again who wants to play a video game in bed. And, you know. but I want to celebrate that there's people who recognize his talent, and I hope, you just hope it sinks in that.
So I mean, I love what you're pointing to, and I want you to be in, I want to invite you to be in full celebration, because every time you celebrate, you're then qualifying it, right?
Okay.
And I get why and where that's coming from, and I also think it sort of takes away from your ability to really be with that success. And that's a very important place for you to be able to be, is to not always jump over it and go immediately to but. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, just live with it, aside from anything else.
Not even live with it. Celebrate it. So tell us the celebration one more time. Just bottom line it, but no qualifications. No, but it would be better if, right? Celebrate what you're celebrating.
His teacher encouraged him and almost gave him a roadmap, acknowledging his talent and his leadership and encouraging him to step into that she has expectations. Yeah, she has big expectations for him to be a real leader in the program next year. And
amazing.
What brilliant work he's done so far.
Awesome.
And acknowledging what a gifted kid he is.
Yeah. So breathe that in for a minute and just be with that, right? Somebody else besides you recognized his capacity, his talents, his gifts, and shared it with him, helped him see what he's capable of.
Okay.
Yeah.
It feels when you just put that in its own space.
Right. Doesn't it feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it will feel better for him when you play it back to him without the next part, because where you want to go after that is, so this means you really have to step up and you have to, right? You know, you need to learn this.
Right.
Right. But we have to hold the vision for them.
hold the vision for me. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Powerful. So let's take aim today. What does everybody want to take aim on? And I know we're all coming towards the end of the school year, one form or another. So that's got its own joys. I was just joking yesterday. It's like, you know, now everybody wants the school year to end, and in about 4 weeks, everybody's going to want to be back in school again. So what do you want to take aim on today? Any of you? Anybody can start.
Well, I'll go. This is Maya. I want to take aim on having my son control his behavior, and mainly his anger.
Okay. So, and I know we've talked about this a little bit more, but so can you be more specific about a particular example when you want him to control his anger? Because that's a big concept right there. Right.
Well, I guess try and stop it before it escalates. So he's like, you know, throwing things. And
so be more specific. You want him to manage his anger when?
When he starts
Choose
to get out of control.
One opportunity. No, but when does it tend to happen a lot that you'd like to see him curb it? Because just managing your anger is a big ticket. But managing your anger in the morning before school, or when I ask you to take out the dish, to take out the trash, or, you know, when does it tend to happen where you can really target and take aim on a very specific challenge?
Usually around dinner time or right after, and it's also when he's together with his brother. I'm not sure. That might be the reason, I guess, because they're not really together the rest of the day. They're both at school and, you know, doing homework.
So is he more likely to be picking on his brother, or picking a fight? Or
Yeah, picking okay. a fight. Yeah.
So you really want him to stop picking fights with his brother?
Yes.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's just what I'm hearing. Like, is he getting triggered by his brother, or is he sort of instigating it?
He's instigating it.
Okay. So managing his anger.
And during dinner. Yeah, it is during dinner.
Okay. So it's stop. So you want him to stop instigating fights with his brother at dinner.
Yes.
Okay. But do you see how much more specific that is, and how much easier you can imagine coming up with a solution for it than just managing his anger?
Yes. I mean, there's like other instances where he needs to manage his anger, but that's a good one to start with.
Right. Exactly. It's about, you got to start somewhere, and if you try to do it all, it gets overwhelming, and it feels undoable for him and for you. But stop picking fights with his brother at dinner. That's very specific, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Julie or Kim, what about you two?
This is Julie, and I want to ensure that my daughter gets her medicine every morning. And the reason
okay.
that's an issue is because I'm not home. I give my son his medicine, but my daughter, she won't eat. I leave the house early, and so she won't eat breakfast if she's had her medicine. So it's up to my husband to give it to her. And that, with his own ADHD inattentive type, that's a challenge.
Okay, so you want to – and how old is your daughter again? She's younger.
She's 11.
Okay. So really, I'm guessing, so it's sort of getting her bought into being part of the process of getting her meds.
I think, yes. And I think this will play in the future for both of my kids when they're adults, to
yep.
how are they going to remember to take their medicine when they don't live at home and I'm not there to nag them. So.
Right. You got a long way for them to be there, but it's a great it's a great skill build for her, no question.
Yeah.
Right? And so what I want to plant for you is, and we're going to be talking about process versus outcome, right? So the
yeah.
outcome you're looking at is to have her, ultimately, it's not just taking her meds, but have her sort of seeking and wanting to take her meds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so the process of getting there may be a multiple step process, and it may take a little while, but that's the long-term goal, is for them to see it as theirs so that they own it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Kim, what about you? Where do you want to take aim today?
Are we talking about specifically today or this week or?
What do you want to take aim on this week? Yep. Like
this.
Where do you want to focus? What's the change you want to see? The next change you want to work on?
Well, there's a couple things. One, again, the 17-year-old is, I would like him to become more forward-thinking. So there's, as Hallowell says, there's now and not now, and he's always in the now. and there's still a summer left to plan, and he's got very little, if no, agenda. And rather than it be what I think is good for him, but for him to be able to say, I think I'd like to do that, or I think I'd like to do that, because I feel like I'm trying to create a menu for him of things for him to choose from. But in doing that, I realize these are just things that I'm choosing.
So you want him to participate in planning his summer?
Right. Right.
Okay. And I chose that language carefully because I wasn't saying you want him to plan his summer.
Right.
Because he's not ready to do that. But you also don't want to do all the work. You want to begin to engage him in the process is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Okay. Right. Is that good?
Yes. Engage him in the process.
I hear a hesitation. Is it just not sure yet, or is it feels like it's right, but you're just thinking about it?
Well, I'm not sure. Is it? I mean, I still feel like I need to find all kinds of good alternatives.
So I'm not focusing yet on how you're going to do it. I want to focus mm-hmm. first on what's the change you want to see. And what I'm hearing you saying is you want him to be part of the process.
Right.
Of thinking about what he's going to do this summer.
Right. And actually, like, researching this and the other thing. So
well,
that, it's
that
not...
may or may not be a realistic expectation.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't want to get – that's the how. And I'm right now we're focusing on taking aim on what's the change you want to see. Then we're going to get to the how.
I guess I would like to see him become interested in focusing
mm-hmm.
forward.
Great. So yes, that's getting yes. his buy-in, right? Getting his engagement.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's about helping him find a motivation.
Right, because right. The scariest thing for me is the default, which is he and I are rattling around the house together, and he's just playing more computer games. And he's 17, he's got to have something productive to be doing.
Right. Okay. Okay, so getting his engagement in planning his summer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Great. Okay. So let's move to the topic, because all of these topics that you guys just chose lend themselves one way or another to this larger issue of focusing on the process rather than the achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is one of those topics that really blends together shifting expectations and how to use systems and structures effectively. And really where we've come to this, and there's a lot of discussion about this around particularly kids with ADHD, is you know, that they have a deficit in process. They have a hard time learning processes, creating processes, recognizing processes. And so for many of our kids, the goal is to teach them to become aware of the value of a process, not just the end goal. And, you know, our school systems are set up to really reward the goal, the end. The end is the A, right? If they get the A, they win. If they, you know, and without it, there's something, you know, it's like, it's did you get an A or not? How'd you do on the test instead of did you learn to study for the test, right? And so in this area, when we talk about focusing on the process, it's about remembering that for our kids, the process of getting there is more than half the battle, because the end result is pretty far away for them, and their challenge is in learning how to create processes for themselves and learning how to self-manage through their lives, right?
Yeah.
This is really about setting them up for long-term success and independence. So, Julie, I think it was you that said, you know, you want her to be able to take her meds when she's an adult, right?
Right.
And, you know, Maya, you want him to be able to, the big picture is you want him to be able to manage his emotions and his outbursts, right?
Yeah.
And Kim, your bigger vision is you want him to be able to plan and think forward and think in the not now, right?
Right.
All of those are big picture items. And I actually forced you each to get very specific about it, because when you plan on that big picture, when you're only focused on the big picture, it's hard to make tactical, tangible improvements and results. Because you have to create a process, you have to have something specific you're creating a process around. You know, it's a little easier with anger management to have a process that you use in lots of different scenarios. But even that can be challenging sometimes. So the goal here is to realize that for our kids, this piece of it, the how, is really the hard part for them. And they don't know how. They don't, if they did, they might be doing it. Sometimes they don't even know that they're supposed to put a system in place for something, that they need a reminder or some structure to remember to take their meds, that there are options for them for homework, for activities for the summer that they could choose from, right? They're not, as you say, they're in now, not then, so they're not thinking about it. So the job here, the focus of this conversation, is really not to focus on the skill itself, but to focus on the process, helping them learn how to recognize the need to put some of these strategies and skills in place for themselves. Like we often talked about in a school environment, we want to reward not the end result, like the grade, but we want to reward them for studying multiple times before a test, regardless of how they do on the test, right? That's about focusing on the process. Here, we want to focus on, like oftentimes parents will be given a reward system, right, to use from a therapist. Like, here, go home and put this reward system in place, as if the reward system is the goal. And it's not. The reward system is a tool. It's a technique to help achieve the goal of independence, organization, self-management, whatever the goal is. And so it's really important to make that distinction between the goal and the process to get to the goal. Because our kids need to learn the process step by step. They need to see it. They need to understand it, be part of creating it a few times before they're going to be able to create it on their own. So I want to stop and just sort of see what's coming up, because this is definitely more conceptual than a lot of the other things we talk about in this group. But it's an essential concept to long-term success. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the notion here is that it's not about the ends justify the means. It's not just about crossing the finish line. It's about figuring out what it takes to cross the finish line and rewarding them for that process along the way. So what's coming up? What are you thinking about? What are you noticing or paying attention to as I've been talking?
Well, I think this makes a lot of sense because I think, you know, I was really listening to you, and I think that I, even though my son is 15, I think I'm kind of like always coming up with the outcome or the how. And
mm-hmm. So when you come up with the how, what's his incentive to do that? Are you there? Are you guys there?
I'm here. Did her call just drop out?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, where did she just go?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Julie. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I think she must have just dropped off. That was a little weird.
Well,
okay.
Can I share?
Absolutely.
This is Kim. So for me, getting Jonathan to engage in the process, the investigation, doing those things, engaging in those activities in the end will be its reward. You've planned, you've looked at your options, and now you're going to go do that thing that you chose. So I think it's self-rewarding. It's not rewarding in the process, but once you're there, you say, okay, I participated in this.
So I think for you, that's probably true. Do you think that's motivating for him?
I think, well, in the moment of planning, no. Once you arrive, then it should be.
But you're saying that I need the reward in the planning?
Well, so what I'm saying is that for our kids to be motivated to do anything, or to do anything, they need a motivation, right? And absent that motivation, I mean, we have this tendency to want them to be motivated by what we're motivated by, right? We have this tendency to want them to be motivated by doing it because it's good for them, or because it's going to help them in the future, or because it's the right thing to do, or, you know. But those aren't really motivators for them. Generally, they're not motivators for kids anyway, but they're certainly not motivators for our kids. So to help them get engaged in process, which can be kind of boring, we have to help them find the motivation for it, what's in it for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but, I mean, so tell me how to frame that for him.
Well, we're not going to go to the how yet, okay? We're going to get there, but let's stay with this conversation for a few more minutes. And I know somebody else has joined us. Who's here from Nassau?
Yes, Lisa.
Lisa, is this just, I need to catch it up on the roster at some point. Is this your regular group or usually in another group?
My regular group, 3 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay. Welcome.
Thanks.
So what else is coming up for anybody else about just this notion of, let's just talk for a few more minutes about this concept of process versus outcome.
I think I just automatically go through the process in my own head. I certainly don't share it with them. I just, jump through the thought process of what's the best solution to this situation, and then I just do it. And so I guess if I slowed down and actually thought about what I was doing a little bit and shared what I was doing and asked for input, you know, what would come to mind for you? What would you consider to be an important part of this decision-making mm-hmm. process or something? Then they're certainly going to be more bought in if we talk about it and I ask them to pitch in.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I love about what you're saying is you just pointed out a few things. One is I go through the process in my head. I work through it all. I come up with a solution and I give them the solution, right?
Yep.
Which I think a lot of us do, right? Everybody else on the call can relate to that. I am confident, right?
Yeah.
And so But and then you went on to say, but if you do that, you're not bringing him into the story. You're not giving him a chance to participate, so he's not getting to practice what you're doing, and he's not learning it.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it for him.
Right.
And we all do. I mean, Julie, this is not just you, you know?
Yeah.
But it's that tendency to say, okay, here's your solution. You're having a hard time. If you would just wake up 15 minutes earlier, da-da-da-da, right? But we want them, and this is what you hit on, we want them to become problem solvers for themselves. We want them to be able to recognize the challenge that they're facing and figure out how to work through coming up with a solution for themselves. And that's about learning how to create processes for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think kids with dyslexia do so much better than the other kids, particularly in the ADD realm, because they were taught again and again and again how to use a process or a system to get results. And they see that when you apply this rule, it works. And I learned to read. And so then I've watched it with my daughter. It's like, well, then she learns that if I apply a rule to that, I can be on time. Or if I can, like, she learns to create systems because she learned that it worked for her.
Yeah.
Right. Who else? What else is coming up? Lisa, I know you just jumped in, so anything you want to add or you just want to listen?
No, just listen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Maya, you're back.
I'm back. Yes, I somehow hung up my phone, but I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thanks. I think, you know, what you were saying really is something we need to work on in my house, because I think I do kind of tell my kids, like, you know, whenever they have a problem, I definitely want to problem solve and say you could do this or you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But to get, you know, to go to the point of getting your kid involved, sometimes, you know, my son's like, I don't want to talk about it. That's what he does a lot. Like, I don't want to talk about it now. So then I get really frustrated. Then I come back, or I don't want to talk about it now. So then how do you get them involved in the process if, you know, they don't want to be?
So the answer to that is slowly, right, is to recognize that that's real, that's pretty common, that especially at first, because they haven't had to. Up until now, if you're a director, right, and if you remember, those of you who have done Sanity School, that we talk about the four stages of parent, the role of the parent. Role one is director. And if you're still in a director mode with a teenager, it's time to start transferring into that next stage where you're beginning to transfer ownership. And if you've been doing it for a long time, they may be resistant at first because it's a lot easier if you do the work for them than if they have to do it for themselves, right? Why should they want to? If they wait long enough, you're going to do it for them anyway. Why should they, right? So it will take a little bit of time if you're in that pattern, right? And to be able to say, I get that this is hard. I know you don't want to talk about it. When would you like to talk about it? And schedule a time to come back to the conversation that they call, so that you're not giving them an out, but you're giving them a little bit of control and a little bit of decision making, right? So that's one way. Or, you know, Kim, you were talking about your son wanting to get your son engaged in the process of creating a summer, right? That could take a week or two to have that conversation. You know, you may start with I was thinking about things to do this summer. Have you thought about what you might be interested in? Right?
We've had that.
We've had that conversation.
It just comes up with nothing. I don't know. I'm busy.
Okay.
You know, it's just
so,
avoidance.
So in that case, if it's nothing, it's like really absolutely nothing. So does it feel like, get curious then. Does it feel overwhelming to think about it? Or is there something you've been wanting to do? Like, let him explore it a little bit, right? And then, again, same thing with him. You may say, well, it's definitely something we need to talk about, and I want to help you with figuring out. So shifting that language from we have to plan your summer to I know you've got a summer to plan, and I'd love to help you with it, right? When do you want to give it some thought, and let's talk about it again in a day or two? Yes. Oftentimes when we ask our kids what they think about something and they say they don't know, it's because they really don't. They haven't had a chance to think about it and process it. We've been thinking about it for a while. It's been driving you crazy for days, right? Weeks. But he hadn't really thought about it. So sometimes if you plant the idea and the expectation that you actually are going to follow back up with a conversation about it, they will start thinking about it.
Yeah.
And that may not mean he's going to come back to you with three concrete examples, but he's going to have some better idea of whether he wants to be indoors or in a computer or, like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about inviting them to the conversation. And when they shy away, kindly, positively holding them to come back to the conversation, step by step, a little bit at a time, not aggressively and not out of desperation, but yeah, I get it can be really overwhelming. Well, why don't you think about it for a day or two and let's talk about it again? And it may be, if he says, I don't know when, you may come up with a time. Do you want to go out to Waffle House on Saturday? Do you want to, it's okay for you to continue to contribute to the decision making, but you want to continuously give them opportunities to start being part of the process, not just focusing on the result, which is getting a job. Because truth is, if you could get him engaged in the process and he didn't get a job till July, but he was really actively involved in looking and being part of the conversation, that would probably be more powerful than just going out and getting a job for him.
Right.
Maybe,
right.
Arguably. 17-year-old. I get you want him out of the house all summer.
Yeah.
What else is coming up for people?
Well, are you going to, get to the how part? I'm just wondering.
Well, so we can do a little laser coaching. You want to do a little laser coaching on your issue?
Yeah, well, you were saying anger management is it easy or something? Or so I was just kind of that made my ears perk up.
I didn't say it was easy.
Oh.
Let me be clear. I just said that it's one of those areas where it lends itself because it shows up in so many areas that sometimes you can put strategies in place for anger management and it's not as specific to the circumstance.
Oh, okay.
So let me just check in with Maya, Lisa, and Julie on the conversation piece. Is there anything else about this topic of process versus outcome that you're sort of thinking about or noodling on before we move into doing a little laser coaching around it?
Not for me.
Anything else coming up for anyone? Okay.
This is
Lisa.
So,
go for it.
I don't, unfortunately, I'm at work and I was stuck at a meeting. That's why I wasn't able to call in at 3. And this is very important. But since I missed the first 20 minutes, I don't think there's any question that I have. I believe I fully understand the concept. And I didn't read page 54, but I certainly will when we get off the phone. And
yep.
Just to become more comfortable, and because this is the meat where it's all, because I feel like I've been using systems and structures for years, but it has not always been consistently helpful, and I never really knew why. And
mm-hmm.
I suspect it's right now. This is the meat of it. It has to do something. Probably I was going too quickly into problem solving, and not really allowing him to have the time, well, because he doesn't talk. He never wants to talk. I don't know type of thing. So that's where I would always become overly helpful to give him ideas and then, okay, think about it and then we'll talk about it later. We'll revisit. But it still, in my opinion, wasn't terrific. He still has serious executive functioning problems. But
well, of course.
So
yeah, there's always that piece. But if you have not done Sanity School or if you have access to Sanity School, a lot of this is covered in Module 5 about how to use systems and structures effectively.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I've done Sanity School, and in fact, I keep reviewing the notes.
Yeah.
Say, am I missing something? I just think, you know, it just takes a lot of time.
It does. It takes a lot of time and processing to implement it. And I think you're right. This is sort of the crux of it, is this notion that we tend to focus on the end result.
Yep.
And our kids need focus on the process to get there.
Yes, exactly.
You know. So Maya, let's go back to, it was Kim. Let's look at your issue of your son. No, who was it? I'm sorry. Who just asked me the question of, are we going to get to the how?
Oh, that was me, Maya.
Okay. So, Maya, do you want to coach a little bit around this issue?
Yes.
Okay. So the change you want to see is for your son to stop picking or instigating fights with his brother at the dinner table, right?
Yes.
And when you get curious, what do you think's going on? What do you know about what's happening in that dynamic?
Well, I think my younger son just, you know, he likes commotion, stimulation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So he's definitely seeking stimulation.
Yeah, so my older son, he likes to talk about politics with my husband, and then, you know, he's really into that. And then my younger son, you know, I think maybe he gets bored, or he's like, stop talking about politics. And maybe that's why he's kind of like creating this big, you know, fight to stop that. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he's looking for stimulation. What's happening at the table is not stimulating him. It's boring him. Right? Right. No, I get it. My one of my kids is the same way. Like, are you going to talk about the president again? Like, you know. So he's bored and sort of seeking diversion. What else might be happening? What might be going on?
Well, like the stimulate. I don't know. I guess the. You know, seeking stimulation. I guess I already said that. I don't know what else.
Mm-hmm. Do they sit next to each other at the table?
Yeah, but our table's pretty big, so they can't really reach each other. But maybe I should move them. Is that what you're? Maybe I should try that. Last night, actually,
you just went straight to solution. Okay, and I just asked a question about where they sit. I'm pointing it out because this is a great example of you went to, okay, how can I fix it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you to just stay in curiosity a little bit longer. Yeah, understand what's going on here in this dynamic. So they're not necessarily so close to each other. So it's not a physical instigation necessarily.
Right.
Okay. So when he's picking a fight, how is it showing up?
Well, I mean, he starts kind of being derogatory, or sometimes he, you know, takes food off his brother's plate because he knows that triggers his brother. Like, he'll just, you know, use his hand and, like, grab something off his plate and eat it. And that always triggers my older son, even though I try and explain to him, you know, he's trying to get you angry, and you just have to try and be calm. And I don't know, he's 18, but he can't really control his anger either. So it just erupts after that.
Okay. So they're close enough for him to take food off his brother's plate.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What else is happening in the dynamic? Where's Dad's attention? Are all four of you having dinner together?
Yes, so I guess he is trying to get Dad's attention. That's correct.
Okay, so Dad's attention is on the big brother because big brother is willing to talk to him about politics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's true.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, sometimes, you know, he'll, like, try and get me involved and say, oh, I hate this dinner, or you cooked it too much, and then I'm always trying to, like, explain. So he's not always going after his brother, but sometimes he'll go after me, but he is trying to, you know, always, like, pick this fight or get the stimulation during dinner.
Okay. And does it happen a lot, seeking for that stimulation at other times, or is it really at dinner?
Well, I don't know. It is definitely other times. I mean, you know, when he's in school all day, and then sometimes it's actually after school too, but I figured out that he needs to eat something, and then he's usually okay, or he doesn't want to start his homework. So it's other times.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Okay. So sort of instigating something is a great deflection for him. It works to get him to pull attention away from what he doesn't want to pay attention to.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's using it as a distraction.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, if you pick a fight, then you're no longer talking. Like my husband and I used to joke about this. We're no longer talking about what we were fighting about. Now we're talking about how we're talking about what we're, you know. It's a great distraction.
Yeah.
And our kids have mastered the art of distraction, right?
Yeah.
So he may be distracting in some way from something that either he doesn't want to do, or now if he's on meds, is he hungry by the end of the day?
Yes, I think so. But I've been pretty good recently about making sure he has a really good snack after school.
So he may not be terribly hungry at dinner.
Yeah, you know, also what he does is, you know, I think I just figured something out. I think he creates this distraction because then he gets to, like, run upstairs and go play on his computer, and he doesn't have to,
mm-hmm.
you know, sit there and talk to us.
Right. It's much more – there's something more interesting going on there that's not happening where you are.
Yeah, that might be it.
Right.
Because he, you know, he usually has to come down from, like, playing on his computer – and then have dinner, and then he wants to get back to it. So, yeah, maybe that's it. Probably
okay.
It is.
So that's a lot of information that you've got there, right? And if we look at this issue of process versus outcome, the outcome that you're looking for in the big picture is family, a nice, engaging family dinner.
Right.
Right? And so the process of getting there that you've identified, the first step in the process is for him to stop picking fights or instigating arguments.
Yeah.
That's one of the pieces of the process. What else might be part of the process of creating a nice, harmonious family dinner environment?
Well, maybe, I guess, if my husband pays attention to both of them, you think that would work? I guess.
Okay, so maybe it's creating an environment that's more interesting to him and giving him some attention.
Yeah,
right?
You know, sometimes if I ask him about his day, or, you know, he can be really funny and he starts saying something funny and we encourage him, then he, yeah, that's true. He doesn't pick a fight and he kind of stays around longer instead of, you know, running upstairs.
Okay, so part of the process is making dinner engaging for him. And making sure he feels like he's getting some valuable attention from probably both of his parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even from his brother. Like, his brother may be just an easy target because, you know, they're siblings. But it may also be that, you know, he may also be seeking some attention or you know, encouragement from big brother as well.
You mean encouragement or just, like, want him to, you know, start, like, fighting and or yelling or something?
No, I mean, like some validation about, you know, kids want to be seen, right? We all want to be seen. And our kids want to be seen and recognized and acknowledged. And if a big sibling, if an older sibling sort of ignores you except for to tell you how annoying you are, you're going to keep doing things annoying just to get their attention.
Yeah.
Right? But if the big brother mm-hmm. occasionally tells him what's going on in his life at school or asks him what's going on with some kid at school or engages with them in some way, that's the foundation of relationship.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. So part of what you're pointing to is that there may be, you know, a sense of, I don't want to use the word isolation because that's overstating it, but, or it could be, but, you know, that he's seeking connection and stimulation is what I think you're, and validation, sort of, he wants to be seen. So then as we work through the model, and, you know, we don't have time to do it all here, but if you then look at the model, you know, there's an activating the brain piece, which is about addressing that boring component. And then there's a positive parenting piece that's about, you know, having him feel seen and heard and acknowledged, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an expectations piece that's about, you know, realizing that even though he's 15, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, even though he's 15, developmentally he may be more like 15 going on 12, and you can only expect a kid that age to sit around listening to a bunch of older people talk about politics for so long before they're going to get bored, you know?
Right.
And often political conversations tend to get agitating. You know, people get heated around them, right? So that
yes.
may be contributing as well.
Yeah.
Whatever side of the aisle you're on these days, it's hard to talk about politics without it getting anxious or nerve-wracking, right?
Yeah, maybe I should just have a rule. We can't talk about politics.
Well, but again, be careful because you are now going to solution.
Yeah, okay.
Right, and so here it's a great example because I want you to see what the process is. Instead of let's not talk about politics, the process around that is to raise awareness to, you know, guys, when we talk about politics, sometimes it gets really contentious. So if we're going to talk about it, you know, we might want to either limit the amount of time or be mindful of it, you know, like raise awareness to what's happening around it instead of just putting a kibosh on it. And that's just one example of many, but that tendency to say, okay, here's the fix, here's the solution, instead of raising awareness to what's happening in the first place and letting other people participate in the conversation about how to improve it. Not fix it, but improve it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So I don't think we're not going to get to any more resolution than that today because we need to bring this to a close. But I want you to think about just in this brief conversation around it, what do you feel like you were focusing on and what are you taking away from it?
Well, I think I was focusing on, you know, like just the big, you know, explosiveness of it and everybody fighting. And I guess I wasn't really getting, you know, to the root of the problem, which I'm still not sure if it's that he wants attention or that he wants to, like, you know, go up to his room and be excused. But I, you know, I can get curious about that and I can ask him, I guess, and I could just, I guess I could ask him, you know, how he could find dinner more interesting and talk to my husband, maybe that he can talk to both kids instead of just talking to the older one about politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just bring something simple. I used to have a dinner table, like a series of questions that I would ask, not the same question every night, but like dinner table conversation questions. I would always ask questions like, what was your high today and what was your low today? That was one question we used to do. And another one was, what happened today at school that made you laugh? And another one was, this comes from Sarah Blakely, you know, what did you fail at today? I wouldn't start with that if you're still the place where you guys are. But it works later, like to help kids make it okay to make mistakes and learn to accept their mistakes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, having, you know, for me, I love the question, what happened today that made you laugh?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Whatever it is, and you don't even have to just say, sometimes you can just ask the question and start the conversation, you know, and bring them into that conversation.
Right. Yeah. When he likes to make fun of some of his teachers. So when he does that, then he's, you know, he's really happy and he'll stay there. And then there's usually no fighting. It's just like laughing, and that's a lot better.
Yep.
So
right, and so here's an example of, instead of saying, how did you do on that test, you say, what happened in science today? What was interesting in, you know, what'd you learn about the world today? Instead of focusing on the outcome, focus on the process of learning, what happened in his learning environment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give everybody a chance to do the final four as we're closing up. So what did you focus on today? Everybody take a minute. What was on your mind as we were talking about these issues? And what's your aha or your takeaway? What are you bringing away from today? What's your clarity?
This is Julie, and I have to go, but I just wanted to say that I am thinking about talking with them about what I'm thinking. What the situation is, and this is how I kind of came to this conclusion, or maybe not even say this is how I came to the conclusion, or there is no conclusion yet, you know, steps I might take. These are the steps I might take or things I might consider to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to give you the question, write it down, and just use it a lot. So what do you think?
Yeah.
This is what I might consider, so what do you think? Or what are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Bring it back to question.
Yes.
Love that. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? What's your aha? What's your takeaway? What commitment do you want to make this week?
Well, I liked what are you celebrating? Just leaving that as its own, live in that bubble and not put a bet at the end of it or counter it with anything.
Yeah.
And also finding a creative way as far as my Jonathan to help him engage in the planning. You know, ask him, does it seem overwhelming? And how about we go out to Starbucks with two computers and sit side by side? You know, get us out and find a way for us to collectively do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that I want to help you plan it.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes ownership. And I think just getting I like your idea, like let's go to the Waffle House or whatever, you know, get him out of the default moon in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Love that. Yeah, and I think for you that switching that language from us and we to you is going to be really important. Be careful because you will put people on the defensive and make them feel scared sometimes, especially if you've been using we a long time. But it's okay to say, you know, it's not my summer job, it's or summer experience, it's yours, and I want to help you create what you want to do.
Right. Right. And the other thing that you said was early on, you said, we need to help him be his own bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that with him. We had the video games in the, you know, at night before bed, and help him be his own bad guy. I shouldn't have to do it. And using that language with him.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's great. That was the first time I've ever come up with it, but I think it's a good one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, my pleasure. Maya, what about you? What are you taking away? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, Maya's back. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I was just writing down the action steps, and I think the main takeaway would be try and get him more involved with, you know, thinking about, like, the process of controlling his anger.
Okay.
So just have him more involved and kind of like realize, okay, I'm starting to get mad. What do I do? And, you know, also the stuff that you said about the dinner table was really good. How you know, could he find it more interesting during dinner so he wouldn't want to fight with his brother or, you know, run upstairs?
Yeah. Well, and here's what I would offer to you on top of that, you know, is to get him involved in the process of, but help him see what's in it for him. What's the value to him of controlling his anger? Because you've got to be careful to not make it still be about you, right? His outbursts and his anger issues interfere with his relationships, interfere with what he wants to do. Like, so take your time with that, because it's a loaded conversation. Don't try to have it all at once, okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he sees that it gets in the way of what he wants to do.
That if he doesn't, he's got no motivation to change it.
Yeah.
And so it may not be the place to focus. It may not be focusing on you need to learn to manage your anger. It may be helping him find something that's interesting and then pointing out to him in a couple of weeks, you know, I've noticed that when things are really interesting to you, it's easier for you to not get so frustrated. Right. And sometimes it's about helping him see the success, and then you can help him go back and see what happened to get there.
Okay. That would be a way to make a process. Yeah, so that would be good.
Yeah. And Lisa, what about you?
Well, I think that I probably say too often, you know, how was the math test? And sometimes I think I'm too focused on the, you know, the results. So maybe I should just, well, then he won't tell me that. Wait a minute. He's not going to tell me. If I don't specifically ask him, how did he do on the math test? He will not tell me. So if I say, how's math? Good.
Well, but how but I don't math be... is different from what did y'all talk about in math today? Which is an opening to a conversation that can lead you to, well, what happened on the math test? But if you lead with what happened on the math test, you're teaching him that all you really care about is outcome.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I certainly will definitely watch the language. He doesn't like to talk about school at all. Nothing.
Well, why do you think that is? Get curious about that.
Oh, I it's a mystery to me.
It's not really a mystery. I'm challenging
well,
you.
Well, school's not a happy. But you know, the thing is, doesn't make look. In the past, I could understand it. He's a senior now. He's doing beautifully. I'm just so incredibly proud of him. But he still doesn't want
to. Do you tell him that all the time?
Do I tell him what?
How proud you are and how great he's doing.
Oh, my God.
What a huge turnaround.
Oh, my God. Every little thing, improvement. Now, I've always been like this, that he does. I recognize and acknowledge everything.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Good, good. All right. So focusing on the process, not the results for you, is the real aha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I think we're going to call it a day.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your engagement, your commitment. I know this is hard stuff, but spend some time with it. Read the notebook, chew on it, and really get yourself into question mode. Get really, really curious. And let it guide you in addressing these issues you're struggling with. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody.
And will this be part of a on the web? You know, will I be able to extract this?
You can always
conversation?
Listen to any PSS call that's ever been recorded. You can always go back and listen to at any time.
So
you
it'll
just
be
have to go
by tomorrow or something.
I think by tomorrow. That part I can't answer exactly when, but I think. I'm technically sorry. I think they should have it up by tomorrow. But you can always listen to any PSS calls.
Right.
If more than one person, we're going to record it, and it's going to be there for you.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Take care, everybody. Have a great holiday
weekend.
Okay.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.